Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. Well, today is actually National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. And tonight, we're talking to the top law enforcement official in Prince George's County. Police Chief Hank Stawinski is our guest tonight. He is here to talk about the recent murders, the violence in Prince George's County, his plans and his department's plan on keeping the county safe in 2020, and many other issues that are on the chief's mind and our notes, and anything that you may want to talk to the chief about. The phone lines are open. This is your chance to go one-on-one with Chief Stawinski. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Again, the phone lines are open, and our guest tonight is Chief Hank Stawinski of Prince George's County. Chief, Happy New Year, and thank you so much for being with us.
Happy New Year, Vermont, and I'm very pleased to be with you again.
And I know we're just a little over a week into the new year, and unfortunately you've had a busy start to the year, or really almost end to the year, start to the new year. Let's talk about the homicides that have been in the news of late. The latest, James Dorsey, we mentioned in the newscast, turned himself in yesterday.
Yes.
And he allegedly has killed his wife, Nika Dorsey. How unusual is that for, once the word gets out that police is looking for a suspect, for them to turn themselves in? And what can you tell us about the particulars of the case?
It's less usual for an individual to turn themselves in, particularly if there's been a period of time between the crime and the events that we're discussing. But I want to at least say that I commend the individual for stepping forward, because the reality is that when we're dealing with something as tragic as a homicide, no one rests until we bring that to resolution. And so since that tragic event occurred, there have been detectives and people in our repeat offender apprehension unit, they've been working around the clock to try to find him. And so at the end of the day, we're going to find you. And I'm pleased that that was brought to peaceful resolution. Now, obviously, we're working with our state's attorney's office to bring about a prosecution in that matter. The thing that I want my community to hear on this topic is the challenges that we continue to experience. And it's not blaming the victim. And I want to be very clear about that. But we unfortunately see a pattern where individuals are victimized and then court papers are obtained, the process is initiated, but for some reason in that several days between events, the anger subsides, the process isn't followed through, and then we aren't in a position as law enforcement, our courts aren't in a position to provide the protections to individuals. And in a number of cases, subsequent violence occurs. In a smaller number of cases beyond that, tragedies occur. And we don't want any of that. And so when we have someone, or if you are aware of someone who's experiencing these challenges, encouragement to follow through that process. And I want to say this, you know, sometimes people get together and they shouldn't be together. But at the end of the day, because someone's having domestic disputes or issues, that also doesn't necessarily mean that that relationship is toxic or over. But there are things that can be done to help people express themselves in a more appropriate manner. There's ways to resolve those things for couples to go on with their lives. And I think there may be this misperception that because you've initiated a process like that, that somehow it demands division, it demands divorce, it demands whatever it demands. That doesn't necessarily have to be the case. But where someone is the victim of actual violence, please, either if you are hearing me now or if you know someone who's experiencing this, the violence has to stop. The violence can't be tolerated. And any opportunity to intervene, to encourage, must be taken so that tragedies like the one we're discussing right now don't happen.
And to put that a little in broader context, what you're alluding to is Mr. Dorsey is accused of killing his wife.
Yes.
Nika Dorsey was found in a car in Capitol Heights in a business parking lot off of Ritchie Road. And court records show that Ms. Dorsey had at least filed some papers requesting a restraining order, but she had not taken the next step to sort of officially get those papers on the docket.
That's my understanding, is that that process, again, wasn't followed through.
And he has a record of some, at least official record of some violence towards Ms. Dorsey?
Well, and what I'll say with respect to this is, now that we're in a point where we've made an accusation, we've drawn charges, we're going to have to allow that to proceed. But certainly we've made all of our concerns, global concerns, the relationship and what was and wasn't completed in that process known to our state's attorney so that they can make an effective prosecution in this case.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our guest tonight is Prince George's County Police Chief Hank Stawinski. The phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you, your questions or comments. Chief, what started off the new year in Landover Hills, a 56-year-old mother, wife, and grandmother was killed while she was in her kitchen, I believe, in Landover Hills. Suspect, alleged killer, bought a car from her son.
Yes.
Didn't want the car. The son didn't want to return the car, and return the money, rather. And this suspect allegedly killed this mother, again, grandmother and wife. It's a terrible way to start the new year for that family and the police department. There's really no way to combat something like that, is there? It's so random.
Well, here again, we had, and I spoke about this publicly at the press conference, information that the individual who is accused had made a series of threats to the son and to the family in the days leading up to this event that we weren't made aware of. And had we been made aware of those sorts of things, and what I'm going to, again, encourage the community to do is to pause and look at the moment we're having, right? There's, and I've referred to it this way, and I'm going to do it again. You know, there's jackassery out there where people think that the way to solve a problem is to pick up a gun and confront somebody, and people get hurt, and people get killed. I was there, and I think we've discussed this before. I go to all of these, and the thing that hurt the most on the new year was that I'm standing there with my officers. They're doing great work, diligently taking notes, making calls, getting resources, but the husband is sitting at the top of those stairs, and I'll never forget this, and he's devastated, and there's no repairing that. But if there's an opportunity, whether we're talking about the domestic violence or we're talking about people who are threatening violence, in this day and age, we must take that seriously. And we had a case before I became the chief where an individual had called into his place of work and said, I'm going to come in there and I'm going to shoot everybody. Now, we've seen too much of this. Out of that came something I refer to as the Hank Doctrine. And the Hank Doctrine is simply this. If you say you're going to go do something like that, I believe you. I'm not going to say, well, it probably won't happen. I'm not going to say, well, it doesn't appear. I'm going to say, I believe you, and our officers are going to work until we resolve that matter and ensure that the people who are being threatened, the workplace, the family, whatever the case may be, are safe. And we do that work diligently. And again, these sorts of phenomenon where someone feels that a $1,200 dispute over a car is to be resolved by pulling out a handgun and firing into a home. And I will say this, I believe in my heart of hearts that woman was sitting in front of that window with the blinds drawn, but she was reading the Bible. And to have a moment of celebration with a family, and then to lose her in that fashion. And again, the husband, I will never forget him sitting at the top of the stairs, devastated by this. And again, that's why I say, and my community has heard this from me before, we have got to all get on the same page. And the reality is that if you're walking around with an illegal handgun, you got to go to jail, right? And I don't care that you haven't shot anybody, because the prerequisite for shooting somebody is to carry the gun. And I'm confident that we can do this work together and demand that this issue get addressed, because too many times we're seeing people who have possessed those guns before and then they're involved in subsequent confrontations. And again, that in conjunction with the fact that we can't fix what we don't know about, but I promise everybody listening to me right now that if we become aware of those things, we take those things seriously, we run them all the way to ground until we're confident that people are safe.
You mentioned in this particular case, and we should note that Ms. Vasquez, Philomena Vasquez, was killed when the alleged gunman was standing outside and shot through the window.
Yes.
You said that there were threats prior to the family. And this is an example of, hey, if you hear that, report it to police. Why do you feel so many people don't report these kinds of threats or don't take them as serious as you would like them to?
Well, what I also see, and again, we as a department, I as an executive, am engaged in these issues on the national and frankly, increasingly on the international stage. And I think I fear, I'll say it that way, I fear that people believe that it's not going to happen to them. And again, we're seeing almost daily events where people are going into workplaces, they're going into schools, they're going into shopping malls, and they're pulling out a weapon, they're pulling out a knife, and they're acting out. And so I'm saying that, you know, you've got a cadre of terribly dedicated people. On Police Appreciation Day, I just need to talk about how good and how dedicated the women and men of my institution are. There's nothing they won't do for complete strangers. Nothing. They will get to the bottom of this. And even if at the end of this it turns out it's nothing, well, I'd rather it be nothing than to have a tragedy occur. We've made tremendous progress. We had 2,700 fewer crimes in Prince George's County in 2019 than we had in 2018. That's 10 years of year-over-year reductions in crime, starting at about 45,000 crimes a year down to ending up last year at 13,000 crimes a year. We can do more, but we got to know.
What's the reason you believe for the decrease?
Well, it's a couple of different things. One, we reorganized the entire department. It was oriented to the department or the community as it existed back in the 1970s. So we've restructured. We've become more nimble. We've fostered a different sort of engagement at the command level. This right here is half of it. It's data. And it comes back to, you know, what are your plans for keeping the community safe in 2020? Well, really, it's an extension of the plans that we've been developing and implementing for the last 10 years. We run the department in real time. So my phone is over there right now so I don't interrupt the broadcast. But I know what's going on in terms of all of these various areas, and then we're responsive to that. And then we formulate initiatives when we see trends, and then we address that initiative, and then we work with the state's attorney. The most important piece in all of this, and again, today I've seen several overtures from them, is my community. My community supports these officers. They provide information. They call with concerns. We have a relationship that we've fostered beginning and ending with policing to a standard that this community accepts. And I think that has instilled a confidence. And that's why we've made all this progress, which is why I say I'm confident we can do more. This county executive is completely dedicated to making Prince George's County's safety a non-issue, right? It shouldn't even come up in anybody's mind that there's problems in Prince George's County anymore, in her view. And then beyond that, I think we have the opportunity to reimagine, right, how public safety can be done starting in Prince George's County. Because, again, it's all community focused. It's all about what Melvin High taught me when he was the chief and I was his mentee about, look, you have to speak to everybody. And I think I've talked to just about everybody in Prince George's County at one point or another. And then you have to say, okay, out of that experience, where does that community standard lie? How do people feel about policing? How do they feel about the officers they actually interact with? And what is it that they see? And what I look for in rising police executives is people who can get results, make people safe in a way that I know the community will have confidence in and the community will support. And those in broad strokes, I think, are what contribute to the reduction we've seen.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Hank Stawinski, our guest tonight, Chief of Police in Prince George's County. Let's go to the phone lines now. Paul has been waiting patiently, calling from the district. Go right ahead, Paul.
Oh, thank you for taking my call, and good evening to everyone. The Chief of Police, good evening to you.
Hi, Paul.
And a happy Appreciation Day. I appreciate you guys. I'm thankful for your efforts, and I'm thankful that you guys have initiatives in place that keeps communities safe. Now, my question is, you guys work together hand-in-hand when it comes to implementing a curriculum in the schools that will develop conflict resolution skills or critical thinking skills in the younger people so that when they come up, you know, when things come into play when it comes to violence, that they'll know how to handle it in a better manner.
Paul, you're saying and expressing a concept that is music to my ears. It really begins there. And Dr. Golson and I have had some great conversations about how we can work with the youth so that the idea of picking up a gun and solving a problem with violence are not the answer. But beyond that, internally, you know, we have a tremendous Explorers program. I've got the Cadet program. And all those things are founded on drawing youth like me who grew up in Prince George's County. And understand our unique community and how to protect it. And so I can't express to you enough, and I was in Annapolis earlier today. I do want to say thanks to our governor for taking a moment and appreciating law enforcement across the entire state. But I also talked to some of our elected officials today about the very thing that you're speaking to, and looking globally at how we end up in confrontation on the street with an individual, whether that's a mental health issue, that's an education issue, an opportunity issue, jobs, training, whatever the case may be. And then looking holistically at how we can work in conjunction with all those components and get a better outcome for the individual, right? Because at the end of the day, we got to stop talking globally and we got to start focusing on people and taking them one at a time and working through and providing opportunity for people. And I've contributed to that conversation. And Paul, I can't agree with you more. It really does begin there. But that's why we have school resource officers in all of the schools, all the high schools, and then we work through other avenues to touch the younger students.
Thank you so much, Paul, for your call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chief, before we bump over to the other side on our next break, I wanted to ask you about, I think just about every police department has some kind of crime alert, crime solvers in the county to try to engage the community to, as you talked about a little earlier, if you see something, let us know. And oftentimes we'll see like $5,000 reward. Is that incentive working to get people to contact you?
Yes. But let me say this. There's a couple of different things, and we always try to have multiple strategies, right? Redundancies. Look at the space program. They're successful because they have redundancies. So I got to talk about people like Gina Ford, who's in the Office of the County Executive. I got to talk about Jen Donlin. I got to talk about Christina Cotterman, my whole team of sworn members of MRD. They're the ones who are the first line with that. But here on the front of my daily crime report, and this is how I value this. This is my document every day. This is our strategic guide, 21st Century Policing. You'll find the Crime Solvers logo. 1-866-411-TIPS, since you gave me the opportunity, 1-866-411-TIPS. If you have information about a crime, you can call them anonymously. But also, I want to point to Nextdoor. I want to point to Ring. I want to point to Smartwater. These are the things that we're doing comprehensively, but all of those are avenues by which information can come to us. You've identified one thing, though, I do want to speak to particularly. Posting a concern on social media is not calling the police. And we've had several instances where people have posted on social media and then it's come back to us. And then the thing that we hear is, well, I put it on social media. Why didn't you do anything about it? 911, you got to call the police, please.
Very important point. I guess we all get so used to social media, you assume everyone, even the police, are checking social media. And you're saying not necessarily.
No, and I'm saying this. We respond to all of our community's calls. But if we were to try to effort all of the social media outlets looking for concerns within Prince George's County, because what social media is global, right? Please, and again, I'm not fussing at you, but please, pick up the phone, call 911, or call your local district and report it, and then put it on social media. I've got no problem with that, but we got to know directly.
He is the police chief of Prince George's County, Hank Stawinski. He's going to stay with us, but we've got to bump over to the SiriusXM channel 141 side. So if you want to keep this conversation going and be part of it, more or less, give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The chief will take your questions, your comments, and your concerns. This is the Insight segment, but that's it on this side. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with Angela Stribling is next on 96.3 WHUR. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. And tonight our guest is Chief of Police for Prince George's County, Hank Stawinski. He is taking your calls. He is taking our questions. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. And if you did not know, today is National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. So, Chief, we definitely appreciate you and all that the officers do in the county and all officers across the country. So we want to make sure we get that across. Again, the phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to the phone lines. Carol is calling from Bowie, Maryland. Carol, go right ahead with your question or comment.
Yes, good evening. I appreciate, you know, the police chief speaking. I commend the work that everyone is doing. But I have a question and concern about the bullying. Are you going to have more police officers go into the elementary schools and the junior high schools and high schools to talk about the non-bullying and what programs or, you know, solutions you can have, you know, for the youth that are being bullied?
Great question. Thank you so much, Carol.
So, Carol, thank you. Yes. And again, that's where we have a cadre of school resource officers whose role is to understand the dynamics in any particular school and then to prevent anything from spilling out of that school into the broader community. We have been engaged, and the principal way with which we engage the age groups that Carol is speaking to is through our Explorers program. And in that, Paul also asked a question earlier about whether or not conflict resolution is part of what we're looking to instill. We've got a great partner beyond the Explorers in the Cal Ripken Association, and that's one of the ways that our, and again, the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial and Museum recognized our Police Athletic League as a leader in intervention with youth and a mechanism by which we are offering a different set of skills to resolution. And I can't express, Carol, enough my view. And I've said, you know, we've reduced crime year over year for 10 years. For the instances we track, and let me be clear about something, this is not the UCR, this is our internal strategic document. But those are the things that matter to the folks in Prince George's County. And that's gone down from 45,000 to 13,000. I suggest we can completely reduce these by another several percent over the course of the next 10 years. But that 10 years comes back to what Carol and Paul have both talked about, and that's engaging with youth and offering skills. And then the piece that can't be overlooked in this, and I got to thank Pastor Macklin, I got to thank Pastor Jenkins, I got to thank Pastor Lee, I got to thank Pastor Freeman, Mike Freeman, and the good work that they're all doing daily also with the youth, right? Out there on the street, Pastor Folsom, and engaging with the youth ministries and, again, pulling those kids in, because sometimes young people don't want to hear that message from a law enforcement officer, but sometimes hearing it from a faith leader, sometimes hearing it from a big brother, a peer, or a big sister, again, a peer. And I can't talk enough of good about the fraternity and sororities that are doing good outreach in this area. All those things are a piece of the solution, and none of them alone will solve the problem. But I'm seeing so much good work being done in my home around these issues, and I think our future is brighter than it's ever been.
Back to the phone lines we go. Yvonne is on the line calling from Capitol Heights. Go right ahead. Yvonne, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead with your question or comment.
My comment is, I live in Capitol Heights, Maryland. I'm on a street that is not a part of the town of Capitol Heights. So when I call request for police presence on a particular street due to some activity, they tell me to call the state, as their Capitol Heights Police Department is not in that jurisdiction. And then when I call the state police, they say, call your town of Capitol Heights. So I sent an email to the chief of police, and he said, well, I have to come to a town hall, but I'm not a part of the town hall in Capitol Heights. So where do I go to request for police presence?
So I'm not particularly associated with the street you're on. I know Chief Cummings does a good job, and he's very responsive to the community. I think perhaps the way to start, since you've already talked to him or corresponded with him, is to go ahead and have that conversation with him, whether you're inside or outside of that geographical boundary. And then what I will say is just mention that you talked to Hank on WHUR and that you would raise this concern about the town. He and I were together today again in Annapolis. And just when you say that, if it turns out that that's not the case and he really isn't in a position to help you, ask him to forward that information to me. He and I talk regularly. And if that be the case, then I'll talk to our district commander and we'll find out where that disconnect is. The one thing you've said, and I'm not certain that it's the case, is that if you are contacting the Maryland State Police, the Maryland State Police would not be your resource for that. It would be the Prince George's County Police, and maybe that's part of where the disconnect is.
Yes, and you're correct. That's the police I called.
Okay.
Send me back to Capitol Heights. I'm sorry, I said state, but
no.
You're correct.
No, but, you know, again, let me be clear about this thing. You know, it's about conversations. It's about really listening and having a personal relationship with people. So, again, my answer to you quickly, because you've got that connection, is go ahead to that meeting. Go ahead and talk to the chief. And, again, say we spoke. And if it turns out that there's really nothing to be done on that account, have him send that information to me, and then I will come back to you through the district commander, and we'll get this resolved.
All right. Good luck with that, Yvonne, and thank you so much for your call. Chief, gun buyback.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I mentioned some things like the crime solvers. Many police departments have it across the country. Talk a little bit about the gun buyback in the county. how successful you think it is, where you want it to be. You know, is it where you want it to be, and any changes or any other thoughts about it that we should be looking for in the new year?
So let me talk for a moment about the elected leadership that really is invested in Prince George's County. And here I'm talking about Mr. Hoyer, Mr. Van Hollen, Mr. Cardin, and the good work they're doing beyond our team in Annapolis, again, who I was with today. They're doing their level best, right? I have the privilege of representing the Maryland Chiefs of Police as the president at this point, and we polled our constituency, and 86% of that organization supports universal background checks. But let me say this. All of those elected officials are getting beat up, and they don't really deserve all of that, because the fact is that even if we were to stop manufacturing guns in America today, period, we still have so many out there. And so what I say is that, again, it's a market basket approach. Gun buybacks are a piece of that, and they are successful. And again, there I've got to thank my faith community. I got to thank Bob Ross and our NAACP who has helped fund those gun buybacks. That's one piece. But I also have to thank our Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. The ATF has never been more relevant than it is right now in policing on the street level with law enforcement in Prince George's County as an example, but nationally as well, where it comes to getting the trade in illegal firearms stopped. I got to thank Rob Herr and our U.S. attorney team, who's doing great work with prosecutions. And I got to make it clear that this county executive made a priority of prosecuting these gun cases. So is any of those things alone going to be the solution to our problem? No. There's too many out there. But let's work towards universal background checks, first of all, if I can advocate for that on behalf of all of those elected officials and many more who I didn't name. But let's also do this. Let's also look at every mechanism. So if you have a gun and you don't want it, just bring it to a police station and give it to us, and we'll get rid of it, right? People will argue, well, there's so many, why not, right? Let's start somewhere. Let's not take the opportunity or miss the opportunity to take one gun away that might become the focus of a tragedy. You know, we lost a firefighter, Skillet. We lost a firefighter in Prince George's County because someone who was experiencing a medical emergency picked up a gun. You know, I know families have relatives who are experiencing challenges, and there might be firearms around. Get it out of the house. You know, it doesn't have to be an intentional thing. It can be an accidental thing. And by the way, I'm seeing that too. I'm seeing young people playing with guns. We had that towards the end of last year where a couple of kids, teenagers, were playing with guns and a tragedy occurred. So I am in favor of it. Again, I thank the faith community. I thank our NAACP in Prince George's County for putting dollars where their hearts are. And I'm fully in favor of everything that takes a gun off the streets. But I also come back full circle to where I've said to my community before. Look, we just all have to agree that if you're carrying a gun illegally in Prince George's County, you got to go to jail. Period.
Simple.
It's simple. It starts there, too.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. Our guest tonight is Chief of Police for Prince George's County, Mr. Hank Stawinski. He is taking your calls and your questions and addressing your comments. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Chief, in D.C., they have the ring door cameras, mm-hmm. and they have some incentives for residents to post video cameras at their homes. Is that something that the county would encourage or wants to be part of or is part of?
Well, we are a part of, and I want to thank my assistant chief of police, Hector Velez, who really championed that program within Prince George's County and developed the relationship with Ring. We've used those videos on a number of occasions, particularly around probably the largest single problem that we have, which is property crimes in Prince George's County and package theft. We did a couple of silly videos around Christmas about how you can not make yourself a victim, you know, put it behind a shrub. But really, what it comes down to is taking care of one another, right? It comes down to if your neighbor has a bunch of packages on their front step, take them and put them in your house, and when they come home, give it to them, right? Prevent those things. But Ring, again, just like these other things that I pointed to, is a technology that I think is good for people. A member of my team was in the truck on our way down here, and the camera went off, and it was the UPS person delivering a package. So it allows you to know what's going on and around your residence, and being aware is half the battle. And then it does help us. But the other piece I will say, and again, I want to emphasize this, is as useful as all that is, right, posting the video isn't the same thing as letting us know that there's a problem, right? Because there's millions of those videos out there.
Mm-hmm.
We need to hear from my community members directly. And once we do, we will work. The other piece I will say is that there's got to be a question posed back to the community in a larger sense, and that is, look at the videos, right? Does every single person that appears on this video, is it clear who that person might be? Can you identify them? Is it distinct enough? So some of the frustration that community, I think, experiences is that, well, I've got a video, so you must be able to catch this guy. Well, that may not be enough for us to prove a case. It may not be sufficient for us to identify a person. But the value in what you're saying in terms of having this more prominently is that people tend to do the same thing a bunch of times in the same place. So you got one video, and then they're concerned. They're upset that whatever it is they wanted from Amazon.com, right, didn't show up or got taken off their front step. Well, we're going to catch them, but that one video might not be sufficient for us to get to where you want us to be. But if we have other members of the community who are posting those things, that's helpful too. Anything that you feel will make you safer, right? I'm in favor of that. And then if that can be another collaboration between us and the community, we all win.
And you mentioned collaborating. Prince George's County, right on the line with D.C. And I think we talked about this the last time you were in, but I think it's always good for our listeners out there to understand the type of collaboration that you may have or have to have with the District of Columbia. Talk a little bit about that. They've got 7 homicides, I think, already here in the first 9 days. So I'm sure you have to be aware of that being so close to the city.
Well, first of all, I have tremendous respect for Chief Newsham and for the women and men of the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department. They do tremendously good work. But let's take a step back from that. Okay, let's talk about the metropolitan region, right? We've had events overseas now that have caused concern about domestic security. Well, the folks who might choose to do harm there, the folks who might choose to commit a crime, they don't see any of us and say, oh, Prince George's County, oh, the District of Columbia, oh, Montgomery County, oh, Fairfax, right? No, it's not that way. So not only do we collaborate with them on those cases where we have commonalities, but we share that information consistently. And then we use things like the Council of Governments or the Maryland Crime Information Center, MCAC, to produce information so that all those municipalities within Prince George's County, and there's 27 and they do great work, the Metropolitan Police in D.C., Fairfax County, we're all sharing that information. But they're every bit as committed to our community as we are to theirs. And people going back and forth across that line, they don't care. And frankly, my message to them is we don't care either, right? If you go into D.C. fleeing from Prince George's County, they're going to be there to help us. And if it's the opposite set of circumstances, we're going to be there to help them. And we might have to file some paperwork to get people extradited back across that line. Okay, that's another piece of paper. That's fine. We'll take care of that.
He is Hank Stawinski, the chief of police for Prince George's County. And here's our guest. He's our guest tonight on the Insight segment. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The music is playing. That means it's time for a quick break, but we'll continue this conversation right after this timeout. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is our Insight segment, and tonight our guest is Chief Hank Stawinski, Police Chief of Prince George's County. He is chatting with us tonight, about all things county-wise and what the police are doing to keep all of us safe and initiatives that they have in place. It is National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, by the way. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you have a question for the police chief, now is the time to get on the line. If you have a comment, we'll take that as well. Chief, let's talk about jump-ins. What are they, and are they a problem in the county?
They are a huge problem across the country, but that's one of the challenges. There's a couple challenges we're having right now.
Explain first for those who don't know what it is. What is a jump-in?
So a jump-in is you've got a remote start on your vehicle. That's usually what we're dealing with now. Back in the day when you and I were younger men, we used to have keys for cars.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case anymore. But a jump-in is you've got a car running. It's cold out, but the opposite can be true. It's too hot out and you got the air conditioning on, right? Or you're heating your seats up and you're warming up your car. So it's not exclusively a seasonal issue. And you think to yourself, and again, it comes back to a conversation, Bramante, you and I had a moment ago about people don't think it'll happen to them. Well, the reality is that there's people out there who want to get from point A to point B, and they will jump in your car, and that's why it's called a jump-in, and they'll drive off. And we don't always have that instance where the key fob comes out of range and the car shuts off. We don't always have the opportunity to intervene. And what you don't want is your car recovered after someone has gone in there. And, you know, maybe you're a non-smoker and they smoke or they spill stuff. I mean, it's not their car, so they don't care how it comes back to you. And so my message is simply this. Please don't assume that your car in your driveway where you've never had a problem in the world isn't subject to a jump-in theft. And we've had 19 of them so far this year in 9 days.
That's high or?
That's high. That's very high. And we've had the snap of cold weather. That contributes to it. But like I said, to my community, don't think because the cold weather's over, it's okay. Because when it gets too hot, people run their air conditioner. Don't do it. You know, and again, I know it's tough. My daughter, I take her to school every morning. That truck's cold, right? But we get in, we keep our gloves on, we keep our hat on. You drive for 15 minutes, the truck heats up, take off your hat, take off your gloves, and I've got my truck, right? Still mine. And that's what I'm saying to my community. I know we have these conveniences, and it seems like, well, I can get into a warm car. But we're having a terrible trouble with that, and I'm asking folks not to warm up and to always ensure that you don't put those key fobs in your car and just leave them there in the center console, right? Because that's another problem that we're having. People will drive through, look at cars that they want, right? Because there are shopping lists out there for your more sophisticated thieves, and they'll just go pull door handles, right? And they'll pull a door handle here, pull a door handle there. And if they pull enough door handles, a car will open. And if they pull enough car handles that the door opens, they'll start pushing the remote start, and some of those cars will start, and then those cars drive away. So that's a challenge for us. That's where, you know, we as a society are dealing with the way technology has changed us. And I think there is a little bit of carryover, because I still remember the days of keys. And you think, well, I've got my keys. Well, they're not keys anymore. They're little radio transmitters. And jump-ins is a problem that the community can collaborate with us and prevent.
Where are they more likely to happen? When your car's in your driveway, when it's at the gas station, you're pumping the gas and you leave it in there? Is there any particular place where you're seeing it happen more often?
I've done a lot of work on this, and where it's most likely to happen is wherever your car is running and you're not in it.
So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it don't matter, right? There's folks who will need to get across town, and they'll wait at a gas station looking for somebody to go outside of the car, and you're pumping gas and they're driving away your car. But the other piece is, and again, this is where I'm emphasizing this. If you're concerned, you know, it's the see something, say something principle. But if you're in a driveway, in your home, in your neighborhood where you've never had a problem, it doesn't mean that someone's not going to drive through that neighborhood and they're looking for that car. And if it's running, they'll take that car.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We have a few more moments with Police Chief Hank Stawinski, so you've got a little time to get in your question, your comment to him. Phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810. Chief, I believe it was today, Mayor Bowser in the district talked about collaborating with the federal government and regional partners and addressing whether or not there were threats in the district, and is the city ready in case that they are. Is that something, with all that's going on right now internationally tied to the U.S., that you have to be concerned about and be prepared for?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the entire complexion of the Homeland Security issue has changed over the second half of my career. It's actually a bit longer than now because I'm older than I think I am. But in 2001, you know, everything shifted for us. The mission of our FBI shifted. The mission of local state police shifted. And now when we have these sorts of things, I have to give my thanks to Special Agent in Charge Jennifer Boone of the Baltimore Field Office of the FBI. She and I have talked pretty much daily several times about these very issues. We are part of the JTTF. I have detectives attached with the FBI as officers who are working on these very issues daily alongside FBI agents. The reality is that our FBI doesn't have enough agents to cover all these things. So police officers and police investigators, as TFOs, are assigned with them to do this work. And the mayor has laid out a very clear plan. My county executive has very clear ideas on our role. And I will point back to the fact that we in Prince George's County in 2019 interrupted a planned terrorist attack at our national harbor. So again, it's, I want to be clear to my community, we've never been safer in Prince George's County than we are right now. If you look at it, if you break it down per capita, if you look at crime numbers from years gone by, we've never been safer. But what's different is the intent and the actions of certain individuals. This is why I say, if you see something that you find suspicious, if you know someone who's in crisis, if you're concerned that someone's a victim of domestic violence, and my parents, I love you, I need you to get nosy about what your kids are doing on these phones. I need you to get nosy about what these kids are doing on these phones because they're getting themselves in trouble.
And nosy is what? Know their passwords.
Know their passwords.
Check the phones.
Check the phones and make sure they don't have apps on there that are going to lead them into trouble because there's people out there that want to manipulate them. But let me close that loop real quick so I don't get too far off track. Yes, we're engaged in that conversation. Yes, we are worried about those issues. Yes, we've had success in stopping someone who wanted to do great harm, and I think we prevented an awful lot of harm at our National Harbor in 2019. But that work is daily for our Bureau of Homeland Security, led by Deputy Chief Harvin. And we have a cadre of people who that's their job every day to protect Prince George's County from just those kind of threats.
The department's mission statement, you know, some of the top-of-the-line headlines, and then you have some subheadings under there, but your top headings: professionalism, integrity, responsiveness, sensitivity, respect, openness. Any of those that you feel you want to polish a little bit better, or how do you feel about any one of those jump out at you and go, those we want to do a little bit better on?
My goal is, Chief, having been born and raised in Prince George's County and knowing the history of this institution, but at the same time, my father served the department from 1956 to 1980. He was one of our first union presidents. I know the community's concerns because I've heard them, I've seen them, but I know the women and men who've done this work. In the aggregate, they are some of the finest people that anyone could ever hope to meet. That's why transparency, that's why integrity are the things that I have endeavored to make my touchstones. And at every opportunity, and this is where, again, today I was in Annapolis as the president of the Maryland Chiefs of Police Association, working with our legislators, working with the ACLU, working with the FOP. We don't agree on everything, but working towards bringing greater transparency to policing. Why? Because I want people to be confident in what we do to protect them from people who seek to harm them. And when we don't answer those questions, when we aren't transparent, and again, I've released everything anybody's ever asked for to the extent that the law will allow me. We've had people file complaints. We've had people file lawsuits. I've provided information back, unredacted, right? And again, that conversation is, well, you got to take this out, you got to take that out. I've merely asked the Department of Justice, the state, different institutions, you can have everything. Just sign this agreement with our Office of Law, and I'm not going to redact anything because I want you to have it all. And so we do that work daily. But what I want the community in Prince George's County to know is that there's nothing save a piece of information that's going to lead to harm, lead to an attack, lead to a crime being successfully committed that they're not going to know. Because you know why? It's not my police department. It's not our police department. It's their police department. And we want them to know the work that we're doing on their behalf. And I want them to be confident in the women and men who do this job so that on Police Thank You Day, they are in a position where they're not just greeting that officer, but they are thanking that officer. But that said, my last word is, I don't ever ask them to thank that officer because I know people have different views on policing, but I ask them to greet them. Treat them as an individual. Treat them as a person. Show them that same respect. Expect the same respect back from them. And that's where a relationship begins. And that's where I'll leave it.
He is the police chief for Prince George's County, Hank Stawinski. Thank you so much, Chief, for joining us.
I'm always happy to be here.
And again, it is National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. We appreciate you taking
time
out of your busy, busy schedule to be with us and share your thoughts on what's going on in the county. And we thank all of you all who called in and shared your questions and comments. That's the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, January 9th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.